Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
So we're here tonight on another horrible Oilers loss, 5-2 this time, never really in the game. And it's a game that will be remembered as the game that absolutely set off Ken Hitchcock, the Oilers coach. He ripped into the team. I think there's any other way of characterizing it. He just ripped into them after the game for their lack of desire and execution. And we're going to get into that. But first we'll go, we'll end off with a long section on that, but we'll quickly go through the two good things, two bad things, and two numbers. Bruce, what was your good thing?
I'm going to go with Brad Malone. It's my good thing tonight. And I tweeted this late in the third period. I said, as far as I'm concerned, Brad Malone has been the most dangerous Oiler on the ice tonight. And then I looked it up, and he had 5 shots on net, and no other Oiler had more than 2. Now, this is Brad Malone, fourth line center, replacement player called up from the minor leagues. Played 13 minutes tonight and probably deserved to play that much because he was one of the players who was really giving her and leaving it out there tonight. And by reflection, that doesn't look good on a bunch of other players, but Brad Malone himself, he was strong. He took the puck hard to the net. I think he probably had a couple of defensive issues along the way, but his effort was first rate, and he showed a little bit of gumption in the process. So I'm going to single him out for a little bit of praise tonight.
Alrighty. My good thing is Adam Larson's hit, I think it was in the first period, on Thomas Hertl. He just totally bulldozed him over. He got his elbows up, actually, I think, a little bit. But nice hit by Larson on Mr. Hertl. And that's it. That's all I got to say about it. What's your bad thing, Bruce?
Well, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and leave you both of the other peccadilloes of the one player. My bad thing is the Oilers' performance on home ice. And this is sounding like a broken record now, but they've now lost their last 6 straight games on home ice, scoring 12 goals, allowing 26, and being hopelessly out of almost every game of the 6. The only one that they even got close was the game against Detroit, where it was 3-1. The Oilers pulled their goalie, and they actually got one to make it 3-2. But they were never really in that game, which they trailed by 2 goals for most of the game. And they're just losing by 2 and 3 goals night after night. Regulation losses and very, very little in the way of excitement or entertainment for the heavily paying fans. I don't know what it is, David. I mean, since they came back from the break, before the break, they lost 3 bad home games. Since they came back from the break, they played an exciting game in Philly, got a point, played an exciting game in Montreal, got a point, came home, stunk, got blown out by Chicago, 5 goals in the third period, went back on the road, played an excellent game and won, came back home, stunk again. I mean, what is going on? What happened to home ice advantage? The Oilers now lead the league in regulation losses on their home ice with 15. That was one stat that was put out there by Sportsnet late in the third period. And I haven't had time to parse the rest, but I do know that they're 2-11-0 in their last 13 home games. They've had 2 results and 11 nights where they sent the people home with no points. And really not very many of them that you would say were, well, they were good games, but they got beat by a better team or whatever. They just haven't been good.
Yeah, Hitchcock seems to be suggesting in his comments that it's a team at home that kind of does what it wants, which is to go on the attack and not defend very hard. And he talked about trading chances with San Jose, and you just can't do that with a team of San Jose's skill, which points to my major issue with the Oilers, is a lack of skill on this team. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but I think that's the real issue, is lack of speed and skill on this team, not desire. All right. My bad things, Bruce. I know Leon Draisaitl is just getting an absolute crap kicking, knocked the hell out of him on Twitter tonight, but he's got it coming.
Yeah.
We are both fans of this player. We have been right from the start. I mean, other people have been less enthusiastic. They wanted, you know, every time a major trade suggestion comes up, they throw Drysdale in there. Both you and I have really liked this player, but tonight highlighted why I think some people are down on this player a little bit. And there can be now and then kind of a lack of effort in the defensive zone, or just moments in the game where he just kind of loses interest, where he goes full Frank Mahovlich, I guess. The first, of course, was the terrible back check.
That guy.
God. Terrible back check.
Yeah, that was weak.
And then, but even the one that got my goat, and I think got Hitchcock's goat even more, was the bad line change.
Mm-hmm.
McDavid and Chiasson failed to get it deep. Just, you know, that's again just poor execution. They just can't get it deep. But Drysdale peels off meanwhile for a line change, and he's just going in slow motion, dragging his butt back to the bench. And this leads to a 4-on-2 rush from San Jose and another goal by Mr. LeBanc. I think it was LeBanc on that one. And mm-hmm. pretty safe guess anyway.
Yeah.
So he got a hat trick.
60% chance of being right.
He just, you know, the bad line change, Bruce.
You know, oh man, I hate that.
That game reminded me.
I know you do too.
It reminded me a lot of Taylor Hall's foibles with the Oilers. You know, Taylor Hall was such a fantastic attacking hockey player, but he too would have those moments on defense where it's like the weak back check or the slow line change, and just like you're a leader on the team, man. Mm-hmm. You are the leader or one of the leaders on this team. You're one of the highest paid players. You really only have to, like, in your job. I know it's you don't just have to concentrate 20 minutes a day on your job, like, but there are these heightened 20 minutes when you are on the ice where you are asked to perform and mm-hmm. not have mental lapses and have focus. And I think that this drives Oilers fans crazy, because we have seen this before with really talented players. Sam Gagner, case in point, just never got it through his head how to play defensive hockey and to get rid of those lapses from his game. And we don't see it that much from Drysdale. And the good news is we see absolutely bullish and dominating defensive play from him now and then as well. So I'm not saying he's in Sam Gagner's category as a defensive player, not in the least, but he was tonight, and that was brutal. And this was a game the Oilers absolutely had to win. I mean, they got to win him. They got to win 2 out of 3, wow. Right? You just can't make those plays.
You got to show up to play every night, and then you got to hope you win 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5 or whatever. But if you only show up for 3 out of 5, you're not going to win all the games you show up for. You got to be there and fighting hard every night. And I got some sympathy for the guys doing the heavy lifting, especially when they play, you know, a heavy schedule like they've been playing. But it's just not acceptable to have guys falling asleep at the switch like Drysdale really did on both of those goals. I had singled out that play. It was going to be my bad thing before we even talked, but you'd already picked it out, and I guess everybody on Twitter has too, which is...
And the coach. The coach, everybody. Probably Drysdale himself is thinking, what the hell was I thinking? I hope he's thinking that. Yeah. I'm sure he is. Like,
he wasn't really feeling it tonight, and it was bad news. And. So,
what's your number, Bruce?
My number is I had a number. You go ahead.
My number is 12, which is Bakersfield's current winning streak, and this Bakersfield team. Let me just find the stats here. Just a second ago. Oh, here we go. Bruce, I think they need an airlift from Bakersfield. This team has won 12 games in a row. I don't know why Caleb Jones isn't on the Oilers right now. Brandon Manning.
Looks like 9 defensemen.
Brandon Manning can't play. And, you know, Gravel hangs in there. But Caleb Jones has got to be up here. He's got 19 points in 28 games down there. He's +9. Second he went back down there, they started winning. No, he's not a top four D-man in the NHL, but he certainly is a bottom pairing one, and he can move the puck. Like, they have these guys that just can't make a play, and then they get deked. Yeah. So they're supposed to be defensive specialists, but they're not doing that either. Send Manning down tomorrow. Call up Caleb Jones. Call up, you know, so some people will say, well, if you call up Tyler Benson, that's too soon. I don't know. I think the rule for calling players up is when they dominate in the NHL or AHL. And Benson now has 38 points in 46 games. And even if it's just like a cup of coffee, five games, like just call up a high skill line from the AHL. Call up Benson, Cooper Marody, and Yamamoto. And just see what they could do. Or if you don't want to call up Yamamoto because he's not done well here, and he does only have 10 points in 17 games in Bakersfield, call up Gambardella and Marody and Benson tomorrow, and all those guys will lift the skill level of the Oilers. And you can sit guys who, you know, sit Lucic, sit Reeder, sit Brodziak, and we're not going to miss them. We're not. Ain't going to miss those players in the lineup, I can assure you. And maybe the Oilers can compete better in games with more skill in that lineup. And certainly Caleb Jones, bring him up. And if Secker is healthy, bring him up. And if not him, Ethan Bear or Lagesson. You know, get a new third pairing and get a new third line.
So your objective here is to break up the Condors.
Yep. Break them up. You can send them when the Oilers don't make the playoffs. You can send them down for the playoff run.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
They got Spooner. I mean, and you could send Brodziak down there. He'd be an okay AHL player. You can send these guys, except for Lucic, down to the minors. Reeder might be okay in the AHL. I mean, you know, and Petrovic might be okay in the AHL.
I like Lucic's game tonight.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of his game. He's just one of these. The Oilers are too slow.
No, I got that part.
And yeah, I haven't minded his game either, Bruce. Like, honestly, like he's okay as a fourth liner, I guess. You already have Zach Cassian, and then you have Kara, right? Like, you have too many big slow guys. I'm sorry to say. Did you give a number?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with 5. Out of 9. That's, by your count, 9 grade A scoring chances for San Jose.
Yeah.
And 5 of them wound up in the net.
Yeah.
And not good. I'm not going to say that's all in the goaltending, but I will say you need some saves. But also that the grade A chances tended to be A-plus chances, and they tended to finish them. But in particular, I noticed on, I believe, 3 different goals tonight, probably the last 3 goals were the San Jose guy in the slot held the puck for an extra second, and then Talbot reacted to him, and then the guy went short side and beat him on the short side all 3 times where he pulled off the post, and he's been doing that a fair bit, pulling off the post, and then they just delay a bit and then go generally upstairs and beat him on that side. And
now,
this game wasn't lost at the goaltending level, but it wasn't close, and that was part of the reason.
It certainly wasn't one for the Oilers there, and I did. I forgot to. One of those chances was a grade B chance. I thought the one where LeBanc kind of shot from the high slot.
Oh yeah,
he should have had that. I mean, you expect
the one that hit Gravel, or
no, the
four. One of the other two.
It was the fourth goal where Dreisaitl with the bad line change. And it was a 4-on-2, and it was a borderline A chance, grade A chance. But it was far enough out there, and he had a clear sight line on the puck. You expect the goalie to make that save. And that was one where I fault Talbot on it. And, you know, you just hope your goalie can make stops on grade A shots. There was, of course, the Kane goal where he charges into the slot. That's a lost cause, but...
And one deflection off the defenseman that found the hole. Loss. And that's a little bit luck.
Yeah. So, Bruce, let's go through Hitchcock's comments, okay?
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Let's just move on to that. And now, the ones that got my attention were Hitchcock says, when you put skill in ahead of work, you get burnt. And there's too much of that going on. So that's one of them. And
so too much skill?
You put skill in ahead of work.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, the other one is, so he's asked specifically about Drysdale's play. And he said it's a symptom of something much bigger. To me, it's priorities and it's what's important. I mean, look at the fifth goal. It was a change goal. We just dribbling, went to the bench, turned it over in the neutral zone and just walked to the bench and changed. Just can't be acceptable. I think that was actually the fourth
goal. The fourth goal, yeah.
And then
that was so bad because even as he dribbled to the bench, the guy coming out to replace him, who I'm pretty sure was Lucic. Sorry about that. I don't know what the hell that is. I think it was Lucic, and he was slow reacting to get onto the ice. But it turned out that the guy that walked up that side had nothing to do with the goal anyway. They scored it from the other side of the ice, but the optics were horrible.
Yeah. Hitchcock goes on to say, at this time of year, the coaches can't want it more than the players. That is number one. At the end of the day, it's going to be decided whether we want to play the right way because it's successful or whether we just want to do our thing. And to me, today was a game we just wanted to do our thing and paid for it dearly. That was the when you question I go back to the old Orville Tessier. Remember,
right? 18 heart transplants.
Yes.
Now he didn't remember it well. 83 playoffs. Exactly. He didn't go that far.
But he's heading in that territory. He was only like blue line to the red line away from saying that, and This is getting into whether this is a helpful comment or not, and where Hitchcock is with this team and where he isn't with it. And I follow Premier League soccer, and my favorite team is Manchester United, and they fired coach Jose Mourinho this year. And he was making these kind of comments just before he got fired, constantly these bitter comments about his team, mm-hmm. not trying, not working hard enough, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying the Oilers need another coaching change here.
Well, it sure worked for Man United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, or however you pronounce his name, came on and they're like undefeated in 11 games.
That's not going to happen if the Oilers change their coach.
No.
They've done that. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But it did speak to me like with Mourinho, he was clear. Things weren't going well in the player. And this just strikes me as like, it just screams things are really going bad. And they're kind of going bad between the coach and the players. That's what this comment says to me, I guess. And, you know, whether you want to, there's obviously some truth to this, but I think the greater truth is the Oilers lack speed and they lack skill. And you can have all the try in the world. And if you don't have speed and skill in the NHL, you're just going to get whipped quite often. So that's why I'm calling for the Bakersfield airlift. I think, although maybe you just want, I don't know. I know that you don't want to rush the players, but I don't think, Marody's 22. He's ready to go. Gambardella's 25. Jones has had a full year down there. I don't think it's rushing them. I just think it's like moving out players who can't play anymore and bringing in maybe guys who can and seeing what happens. What did you think of his comments, Bruce?
Well, I'm looking at this other one. He says, how many times did we lose board battles in the offensive zone where we had size advantage and they walked right off the boards and ended up exiting? That's just flat determination. Just happens too many times. That is work. This is a second and third effort league, and it's a league of discipline, especially between the blue lines. When you do what we do, and to me, this is typical of what's gone on in four of the last six games, especially at home, with the ones I singled out earlier. Yeah. At the end, the players have to reach a point where they're just sick of it. For me personally, it's really irritating. Clearly, it really bothers me to see that, so it's on me to fix it. I have a feeling the next practice or two is not going to be a fun time for the Oilers. But they just did this. They had, after they folded against Chicago, they went out and they had battle drills on Wednesday practice, and then they brought that some of that to the game in Minnesota on Thursday. I thought their work rate in that game was excellent. They
Chris, it's
really
this is
battled hard. And then tonight,
well, you know, you get win it one in off the shin pads, and then Drysdale goes to sleep. It's certainly a league where it's hard to score goals. So if you get down, it's very demoralizing. But again, I just think it's particularly demoralizing for the Oilers because they don't have that offensive firepower to come back in a game. And get rid of these players who can't score. Get rid of Brodziak. Get rid of Reeder now. Why are they still on the team? So if I was Hitchcock and if I was the devil's advocate I would say, what are you doing playing Brandon Manning? What are you doing sending Caleb Jones to the minors? Like, get some players who can make a pass, make a play. Why don't you give Cooper Marody a try? You know, he's getting a point a game in the minor leagues. He's a young guy who can play some hockey. Trust, you know, he wants to, you know, he's just defensive grind game. Maybe he's right. Maybe it's just crazy to go with younger players, but the older players sure as heck aren't getting it done. And I would move on from them now.
Well, here's a different stat for you. In the last four games, the Oilers have scored 11 goals, and both Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have been on the ice for 10 of the 11 goals. So with those two guys on the bench, the Oilers have scored one goal in four games.
Jason's been really slow and not doing much either lately. So, I mean, I think he can play on your fourth line right now or your third line, but man, get some players who can move the puck and make plays. Would it really be too horrible to try Tyler Benson in your top six in the next little while?
Chase Hunt's not the guy I would have promoted tonight when Ratty got hurt. And I'll give a kudo to Ty Ratty, who went down to block a shot on Tuesday night against Chicago, left the ice in pain, finished that game, missed the next day's practice. And here it is 3 days, 4 days later, and he blocked a shot. I'm certain it was in the exact same space. The way he went down, he left his left leg kind of exposed to the back, and the shot took him right on the knob on the ankle, it looked like, both times. Can you imagine how much that would hurt when you already had probably a wicked bruise from the previous one? You could just see him going down the tunnel. Oh,
I like that player too. I think he's a good hockey player. He's a decent hockey player with some skill.
But anytime he gets it going on where his game is coming around, like it has been, something happens to him. He hasn't had much very good
luck.
Have
we heard if he's out?
I would be surprised if he's not, but they do have 3 days off now before they play another game. So
3 days of misery. At least they can.
Then they go down east and they play Pittsburgh, Carolina, and another pretty good team, Islanders.
Yeah.
But they're road games, so maybe they'll play well. Jeez.
Meanwhile, St. Louis is trucking on up in the standings, mm-hmm. and the Oilers are for now 4 points out of a playoff spot. There are a couple. I think St. Louis has a couple games in hand, and I think it's the writing's now. I don't know.
Well, they have 1 2-game winning streak in the last 25 games.
Exactly, Bruce. Yeah. So again, why not? Why not shake it up? Why not bring in 5 players from Bakersfield tomorrow and send 5 players down? That's what I would like to see. That's what I'm hoping to see. You're keeping your peace on that.
I don't think it's apt to happen. wishful thinking, but yeah, I don't think it's likely to happen to that extreme.
Desperate people, desperate times called for desperate measures. So, all right, let's leave it there, Bruce. And again, if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, feel free to give us a review and rate the Cult of Hockey podcast for us. Thank you.
Sweet.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.